help us to commence this evening with hymn 285. Oh, for a heart to seek my God, encouraged by his gracious word, to view my Saviour all complete and lie submissive at his feet. 285.
Thank you. Let us read together the word of God from two portions of Scripture. First, Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2. And you are the quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye been in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. At that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, yea, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall, the partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. The Gospel of John, chapter 17. These words spake Jesus, and lift up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I came to thee, I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me have I kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now, come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Lord bless to us the reading of his word, and help us to pray. Merciful and kind and gracious Lord God, once again a little company of poor sinners are found assembled in thy house at the evening hour of this thy day. Lord Jesus, we plead with thee to come once more and come into our midst and grant us thy help, thy presence, thy blessing. Dear Lord Jesus, we come like those Greeks did, and they said to Philip, Sir, we would see Jesus. And our prayer and our desire and request and petition this evening hour is the same, that we might see Jesus. We might behold him, the altogether lovely and the chiefest among 10,000. Thou art indeed draw near and nigh unto us, and grant us thy help as we assemble in thy house for worship. Oh, that there may be that true spirit of worship granted to us. There may be that humbling of ourselves at thy feet. There may be an acknowledging of our sin as shit before thee. There may be a plead into the blood that does for sin atone, the blood whereby the church of God is freed. We look then to thee, because, dear Lord Jesus, there's nowhere else for us to look. There is none other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved, whereby we shall be saved, whereby we might be saved. It's all, dear Lord Jesus, of thy divine goodness, of thy rich mercy and compassion. Lord Jesus, we have read together now in thy word this evening that blessed prayer of intercession that thou hast made here on earth for poor sinners. And oh, we ask and pray that we may find a blessed, gracious interest therein. We may know that we are indeed found within the intercessory prayer of Jesus. Lord, then do come and help us. We think of the words of thy dear servant the prophet, there in the Lamentations, that thou hast heard our prayer. Thou hast pleaded our cause. O Lord, thou hast pleaded my cause. And Lord, we pray that we each may know that thou hast indeed pleaded our cause. That we may know that we are found then within the prayer of Jesus. He that laid by his glory, that came to this earth, he that suffered, bled and died in sinners' place, room and stead. As the prophet says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Ah, dear Lord, and we do pray then that thou art graciously help us and meet with us. We ask for a face view of Jesus in our place, Rome instead. We ask, dear Lord Jesus, thou wouldest draw near and favour us indeed abundantly, Lord. Oh, that thou wouldest come, Lord Jesus, and open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing even this evening hour. We that there may be souls wrought upon, sinners blessed, sinners to go home, Lord, with that in their hearts, what the Lord has done, what the Lord has accomplished, what the Lord has spoken, then, Lord, do hear our prayers. We do bow before thee in confession of all our sin. Ah, Lord, we are sinners, and we sorely feel the fall. Lord, and we are very conscious of our sin. But Lord, we come to thee and bow down before thee like that dear man in the temple and would plead, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But dear Lord Jesus, we also read of him that he went down to his house justified rather than the other. And oh, that we may know that we are indeed justified in the name of Jesus. Gracious Lord, do hear our prayer. Ah, that we may know, Lord Jesus, then that thou hast paid the price, the redemption of our soul with thy blood. Lord, we pray then that like the dear man in Ezekiel, Zechariah's prophecy, why one snatched from the burning. Lord, do snatch poor sinners from the burning. Do, Lord, save them by thy grace. Do turn their hearts and their affections unto the things of God, the things that really matter in life's pathway. Because, Lord, we each fast hasten on to eternity, not knowing what a day or an hour may bring forth. We know the old must die. But, oh, may each of us remember that none of us are too young to die. Then prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work performed. It's all of grace in Christ's obedience, clothed and washed in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Then, Lord, do help. Now we pray for others, Lord. They're all known to thee, but thou hast said I will yet be inquired of. Lord, we pray thou wilt put thy hand and heal and restore the sick. Those, Lord, that are found with illness, some bring their afflictions with them to the house of God and expect to carry them maybe to the end of their days. But Lord, we do pray thou wilt uphold, thou wilt strengthen, maintain on, like the dear apostle, that they may know that my strength is made perfect in weakness. May they have that blessed promise, my grace is sufficient for thee. Hear them prayer. Lord, and do comfort all those that walk in bereavement's path. Be gracious to them. Oh, we think of many, Lord, have stood around a grave of recent times. We pray that thou art remember them, or that they may not mourn as those that mourn without hope, or that they may feel 'tis well. Lord, and may it be well with us, well while life endures and well when called to die. But Lord, do comfort then the widows and the widowers. Remember those that have lost mother, father, brother, sister, child, grandchild, the grandchild that's lost the grandparent. Remember them each. Lord, do be gracious, we pray, and graciously help. Lord, and be with all in trials and troubles and difficulties. I know it's what those trials and troubles and difficulties are made of. It's all known to thee. Help one another, commit all into thy hand. The psalmist says, cast thy burden on the Lord. And Lord, he tells us, and he shall sustain thee. Oh, that sinners may know that sustaining, that upholding, that strengthening they had of their God, then do a prayer. Our Lord, there's others, Lord, then in various things. Pray thou be with them and go before them in life's pathway, the untrodden steps, make crooked straight, rough places plain. Remember the children, the young ones, Lord, do bless them. Undertake for them, Lord. Oh, what lies in their path we know not. Lord, we do pray thou wilt graciously bless them. Oh, and prepare them, dear Lord, for all of thy will. Prepare them, Lord, for what may lie before them. Dear Lord, for we fear persecution lies before our children and grandchildren. We pray thou wilt help them, strengthen them, bless them, and be with them, that they may have that faith to cast all their care upon thee. We do pray thou wilt remember our nation also, appear for us, others in the world, their suffering, there's war, there's bloodshed. Lord, do remember, and those who are in need, in poverty and famine, death and disease, do graciously help, bring peace in this world. And we ask, Lord, that thou wilt help us. Close of the present service, Lord, then another service, when a few poor sinners will gather together round thy table, to do as thou hast bidden in remembrance of me. Lord, do help us. Oh, prepare us, dear Lord, for this solemn service. Oh, that we may come rightly. Dear Lord, with nothing in our hand, simply to thy cross to cling. Pray then that thou art be near and be round about us. Lord, we need thy help. Lord, we needed thy help this morning, and thou didst uphold. We need thy help tonight, and we pray thou would again uphold. And thou wilt strengthen, and thou wilt be with us. We thank thee for all the mercies and kindness and favours, blessings bestowed upon us. We would not let these lie forgotten in unthankfulness, yet without praises die. Then come thou, dear Lord, and do help us this evening now. Fulfil thy gracious word, thy blessed promise. Thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Come, open one's mouth, touch my lips with that live coal from off that heavenly altar. As we played, the dear woman who cried, Lord, help me. We ask it all in Jesus' name.
Hymn 1111. Jesus, thou alone canst save, thou canst raise the dead to life. Thy reviving power I crave to decide this inward strife. 1111.
in dependence upon thee, Lord, for all needed help. We ask your very prayerful attention again to Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 56 and verse 7. Isaiah 56, verse 7. Even then will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. We attempted to look at this word this morning, and really we only got the first clause of this text, and mainly the first two words of this text, even them. Those named here, them, why were these found earlier in the chapter? The strangers and the eunuchs. The strangers that feel not to be like God's people. The eunuchs that complain of being a dry tree. But the Lord has mercy on them. He has pity, his compassion, and he blesses them. Indeed, he has blessed them, and he will go on to bless. If there's a poor soul or two here tonight that feels to be so unlike one of God's people and God's children, yet you're found here in the house of God tonight, choosing the things that please me. That spirit of grace and of supplication, that spirit to know Jesus, whom to know his life eternal. The Lord says by his servant in the book of Proverbs, the 8th chapter, 17th verse, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. They shall find me. Sinner, heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word shall not pass away. The time of love will come when thou shalt clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but thou shalt say for me, tarry his leisure then, wait the appointed hour, wait till the bridegroom of your souls reveal his love with power. Even them will I bring. Yes, we noticed about some of these characters, them. We turn to John's Gospel, chapter 10. Are my sheep, and I know them. And no doubt you notice there, in the reading this evening in John's Gospel, chapter 17. Why, he says, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. I have given unto them Christ's words. Why, the dear Lord asked the disciples, didn't he? Yes, and why Peter's answer was they couldn't go away because thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Ah, yes, and why, whatever else you and I may have in this world, may we have the words of eternal life. May we be amongst the seekers, the finders. I hadn't thought of this, but this afternoon we tempted to speak to the children about the man that was seeking goodly pearls. See, he was prepared, yes, to give up everything else, to sell everything else, that he might obtain this one pearl of a great price. Yes, oh, what does Jesus mean to you? Is he indeed the altogether lovely and the chiefest among 10,000? Him whom your soul loveth? Is his voice sweet to you? It will be sweet if the Lord has made Jesus precious to you. If you want those words of eternal life, if you cannot rest satisfied without them. Well, he goes on here. And what a mercy it is, I'll hear there's this. I pray for them. Hear this word, even them will I bring into my holy mountain. Yeah. Bring at last to heaven, at last to glory, where Jesus is, where he lives, where he reigns. Yes, all gloriously. I pray for them. I pray for them. Yes. Even them. The sons of the stranger. The eunuchs. Poor sinners. Yes, right down to the end of time. Including those in Swayze Chapel tonight. I pray for them. Oh, that your name and mine might be found in that Lamb's Book of Life. That you and I may be found, yes, within the intercessory prayer of Jesus. I pray for them, for their souls, for their good, for their salvation. Oh, blessed be his glorious name. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. I want to come to this, if the Lord might be pleased to help me. Come back to this part of the text, but come to this. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be acceptable upon mine altar. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. Yes, the dear servant of God, dear David, why, he tells us quite clearly and plainly here in the 51st Psalm. Yes. Why, he says this to us, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. The sacrifices, yes, their burnt offerings and their sin offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon thine altar. Yes. It's to this man will I look. Even to him. See, here it's even them. And here then in the last chapter, it's but to this man will I look, even to him. Even to him. That is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Is there a sinner that has come into the house of God tonight feeling, yes, you tremble at God's word. You tremble at God's word because it declares this, doesn't it? The soul that sinneth against me shall die. But then, as this, it's in him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. Yes, we may tremble at God's word, but do we also have this blessed gift of true godly sorrow and repentance over our sins? I believe we mentioned Peter this morning. He went out weeping bitterly. Well, that's the type of repentance we need. We don't want the repentance of Judas Iscariot, because that won't save us. That won't save us. But the broken heart, the contrite spirit, that brought the publican into the temple. Yes, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's the repentance. David, why, with all his sin and iniquity, yes, the adultery with Bathsheba and the murdering of her husband. He caused the death of Uriah, didn't he? He didn't literally kill him himself, but he gave instructions. Thou, God, seest me. And I do wish to be careful, because I have personally a desperately wicked heart. But, to have that broken heart, to that true repentance, that godly sorrow, that real grief, that grief before God. I said this morning, we confess our sins, not before a man, not before the priest, not before the Pope of Rome, no, before the God of heaven. We get there into the closet, we shut the door, and we pray unto our Father which is in secret, and our Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Yes. This man, these sacrifices, their burnt offerings, their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. See, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeah, where this true repentance is over sin, yes, there will be forgiveness, because he is faithful that has promised. He is faithful that has promised. That if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just forgive us our sins. When the children of Israel sinned in the wilderness, You see, Peter's denied his Lord. David's sinned. The children of Israel sinned in the wilderness. You may look at David's sin, you may look at Peter's sin. We need to look at our own. The children of Israel murmured. Children of Israel murmured. Do you murmur? Do you murmur? Against God's dealings, against God's leadings, because they're contrary to yours and mine. Remember this, that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And the children of Israel were chastened. The Lord sent fiery serpents amongst them to bite them. But it had the blessed, gracious effect and design that God intended it to have. And that was that they should humble themselves before him. They should come and acknowledge their sin. We have sinned. Have you come to that? Have you come to that? To acknowledge your sin before a holy God. For this God that cannot look upon sin but with abhorrence. But there's all. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, because he retains not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He delights in mercy. So if we confess, he graciously, mercifully forgives. He says, yes, the word that he has given them, that if we confess our sin, but yes, that word there in the gospel, that I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Poor sinner tonight, I will in no wise cast out. A sinner that comes with a broken heart, I will in no wise cast out. Why, to you that are married with children, if one of your children has done something wrong and they come to you and acknowledge they've done something wrong, shall we say, for argument's sake, they've broken a pane of glass in the greenhouse. And to come and say, Daddy, I was playing. I know I shouldn't have been, but I broke a pane in the greenhouse. You can't lay your hand upon that child, can you? You can't lay your hand on that child. And here's how, and neither will thy heavenly Father lay his hand on you. Their burnt offering, their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. these are acceptable. This broken heart, this contrite spirit, this confession before him. But they should be these burnt offerings and their sacrifices. There's more than one. Let's look then at another burnt offering, another sacrifice on the altar. My dear soul, may Lord help us to point you and I to look unto Jesus, God's dear Son, the sacrifice on the altar. Why, as the dear Apostle Paul writes to us here in Ephesians 5, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God of a sweet smelling savour. Sin must be dealt with. And without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Go right back in the Old Testament. Why, yes, comes to mind what you read of here in the very early chapters of the Bible. There was here Abel and Cain, wasn't there? Yeah. Cain offered a sacrifice, a firstling to the flock. Ah, dear soul, God's dear Son offered himself as a sacrifice. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Thee, dear Lord Jesus, bore, all incarnate God could bear. He bore the sins of all his people, all them that he prayed for there in John chapter 17. Oh, his sheep, ah, yes. Why, he says he was afflicted, yet he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to death, grief, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Oh, yes, the Lord's blessed, gracious sacrifice. He himself, in his ministry here on earth, declared this, of what was to come. Yes, to his disciples, greater love had no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. Yet Paul writes to us in Galatians, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, who gave himself for us. Oh, and did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the sky, stoop down to wretched nest and dust that guilty worms might rise? Yes, the Redeemer left his throne, his glorious throne on high, where it suffer, bleed, and die. Yes, he is indeed this one sacrifice, yes, which shall be accepted upon mine altar. This is my beloved Son. Yes, there is all on Calvary's cross. This was the eternal Son of God. This was the blessed, glorious one. The one that would pay the price of the redemption of his people with his own heart's blood. Redeemed. Redeemed with and by and through the blood of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Be you not redeemed with corruptible things such as gold and silver from your vain conversation, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. The blood of Christ divinely flows, a healing balm for all our woes. Redemption. Glorious thing. Blessed truth. Their burnt offering, their sacrifice shall be accepted upon mine altar. Well, then, we haven't gone into it very well, but this all is there, the blessed, glorious truth of it. That Jesus, in the sinner's place, room and stead. The eternal Son of God suffers in sinner's place. Why, the dear apostle, he speaks to us here, does he not? In the Hebrews about these blessed things. Why, and of Christ, yes, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered him once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Paul reasons it out. If the blood of bulls and of goats, the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Yes, the holy and the just are the perfect sacrifice, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto God. The law demands purity, holiness, nothing that can corrupt, nothing that can defile. The lamb, the children of Israel, prior to coming out of Egypt, was a lamb of the first year, without spot and without blemish. It wasn't some lame lamb of the flock, something that could be, it was no real sacrifice. No, it was a real sacrifice. The best lamb of the flock.
are in. And here we have the holy, harmless Son of God. He that knew no sin, he that was holy, offered himself without spot unto God. But Christ had not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but in heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many. As them look, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So here then this, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. And now there's another sacrifice. And that comes from poor sinners. Again, the first sacrifice that we looked at was the sacrifice of confession, of mourning over sin and transgression. Yes, confessing our sins before the Lord at the throne of grace. But there's another sacrifice. And it, again, it's here in the Epistle to the Hebrews. And it's in the 13th chapter, and it's in the 15th verse. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips. How many in here? How many souls in here tonight? Yes. Could. Moved by the Spirit, testify the Lord's goodness and mercy to them. All those things that he has done for them. I think the hymn writer, I believe it's Lady Huntington. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to save my soul from danger interposed his precious blood. Here in Psalm number 40, the dear psalmist speaks here, does he not? And have some of you been here? Psalm 40, second verse. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He brought me also up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He caused you to hear his voice. He stopped you in that downward road to hell. He awakened you. He showed to you the way of eternal life. He taught you to pray. Albeit, God be merciful to me, a sinner. But with prayer indicted in the heart. Yes, and you felt to be in a horrible pit out of the miry clay. It set my feet upon a rock, established my goings. Here's the sacrifice of praise. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. He hath put a new song in my mouth. Wasn't it good? John Newton, a man that was very instrumental in the abolishing of the slave trade. But once he worked in the slave trade. Yes. Oh, it's amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Give the sacrifice of praise. Why, again, was it the psalmist says to us here, if we can see it? Why, yes, here in Psalm 66. Why, he says this to us, first of all, in the 13th verse. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. Some of God's dear people have been in some deep troubles and trials in their life. Some had been, yes, where they've been so far off from God, where the Lord has snatched them clearly as brands from the burning, calls them to hear his voice. Others, it may be God has dealt with them on the hospital bed and has drawn near to them, spoken to them, and it was there on that hospital bed that they made a vow that if the Lord would raise them up, strengthen them again, they would do just as this verse here says, I will pay thee my vows. God has done his part, if I may put it like that. God has done and performed, answered your prayer, answered your request, raised you up from that bed of affliction, brought you out of that trouble, out of that danger, appeared to your soul, blessed you indeed, give you a sweet hope in his mercy. Sinner, have you offered the sacrifice of praise? Have you come? I will pay thee my vows. Further down, say, there's this again. Come and hear. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. And I will declare what the Lord hath done for my soul. What the Lord has done for my soul. He didn't just heal my body from that disease or that what it was brought me through that operation. He healed my soul. He gave me a sweet hope in his mercy that it would be well while life endured and well when called to die. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. When, if you and I should go abroad and come back, we have to go through the customs. You see it at airports, no doubt you see it at the seaport as well. There's a green lane and there's a red lane. And those that wish to declare what they bring in through will go into the red lane. and those that say they've got nothing to declare will go through the green lane. Sometimes the officers there in charge will look at one and another, and they may have suspicions about them, and they will call them over, and perhaps they will search the luggage. They may even do a body search on them.
Yes.
To see whether they're being true. Gina, are you being true? What lane are you in? Are you walking in the wrong lane? Nothing to declare? When the Lord has done great things for you, whereof you are glad. That's what you said there on the hospital bed. That's what you said when the Lord raised you up and strengthened you. Oh yes, you tell. Ah, friends. Sinner. Have we got anything to declare? To declare it to Lord's honour, Lord's glory, and his praise. You see, this whole, it call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Now, maybe some of you in here know that and have experienced that. But then it goes on to say, and thou shalt glorify me. Well, let us follow him, glorify his name, declare what he has done. Yes, so that he and he alone has all the honour, all the glory, and all the praise. Let's come back here. Even then will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. And make them joyful in my house of prayer. Why, when a poor sinner has come into God's house, sometimes very, very cast down, feeling to be at the very ends of the earth. A word, if I can find it, comes to mind here. And how true it is. Blessed is the man that heareth me. This all you may not feel to be blessed in the experience of some of these things. But you're the man that has heard, the woman, the lad, the lass, that has heard the Lord. You are watching daily at his gates, waiting at the post of his doors for the Lord to speak. And the Lord did speak. And he spoke peace, pardon, forgiveness to your poor, never dying soul. Peace I leave with you. And my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. There may be a poor sinner here tonight. Yes, that their heart is troubled. Troubled because of all that sin and iniquity of the past. But the Lord bequeaths peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Give unto you. You, a poor, down and out sinner. A beggar, poor at mercy's door. Unto you. And it's let not your heart be troubled. I must close, but talking about beggar, or mentioning beggar rather. Blind Bartimaeus, peace I leave with you. Yes, and why, there he is, by the way. And Jesus stood still. What for? To attend this beggar's need. Oh, and to me, friends, tonight, it's just as though he said to that dear man, let not your heart be troubled. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. My peace I give free. No payment required. Make them joyful in my house of prayer. Yeah. Yes, rejoicing in what Christ has done and accomplished on your behalf. That peace, peace by his cross, as Jesus made the church's everlasting head. Peace I leave with you. When one and another dies, sometimes they leave, bequeath something to those that they love, or someone that has done some thing for them in their life, and they, in their appreciation for it, they leave them sometimes a sum of money, sometimes perhaps some jewellery. Yes. Ah, dear soul. But the very opposite with Jesus, isn't it? What, dear soul, what have we done for him? Naught. But he loves his people, great and small, and grasping hard, embraces all, and nor with a soul will part. He toils through life, and pants through death, and cries with his expiring breath, 'tis finished and complete. Yes, and they know this joyful, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Yes, you know, You come into God's house. Sometimes we've come in with our head hung down like a bulrush. And there have been those times when the goodness of God has brought forth repentance in our hearts, and we've known a touch of his love and his mercy to our never-dying souls. He's appeared. He's shone through the lattice. The word of his grace is the altogether lovely, is the chiefest among 10,000, is him whom my soul loveth. He's appeared. Yes. And we love him because he first loved us. And what joy there is in the sinner's heart. Make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Not just some, but all. The very, very worst of sinners. And the very worst of sinners will know and have and receive the joyful sound that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. Well, I leave a few simple thoughts. Amen.
collections last Lord's Day amounted to £585, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, our friend Mr. Field will address the prayer meeting tomorrow evening and preach on Tuesday evening. And Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 1097. A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. 1097.
dear Lord. We come then almost to the close of the services of thy house this day. Lord, we prove the devil a liar. And the praise belongs to thee. Ah, Lord, we acknowledge thy kindness and thy mercy. There's been that one that has granted all needed strength, strength equal to the day. Has fulfilled thy promise. Once more, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So, Lord, we render praise and thanksgiving. Now we pray thou wilt pardon all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Cover all with the mantle of thy forgiving love. Receive us graciously. And now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.